been asked to speak on the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Just a moment. On the 10th canto, chapter 33, entitled The Rasa Dance, text number 19. Kritva tavantam atmanam javati gopayosita reme sabagam stabir atmaramo pililaya. Satisfied, playfully enjoyed their company. Purport. As Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out, it has already been explained that Lord Krishna is eternally free from all material desire, perfect on the platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. Om Gyanati Manandasya Gyananandana Sarakaya Shakshurimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyana Vistam Sakitam Nena Uttale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dhati Swapanam Kikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Tupakaram Shri Guru Naishamascha Shri Uprama Sarajatam Sarana Vagnatam Vikantam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Parama Sarvina Vantam Sri Sarvam Vantam Sya Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Vandu Jagatpate Gopi Sarvodi Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri chapters, the Pancha Rasa Jaya, the five chapters that actually deal with the Rasa-lila pastime of Krishna. And there is so much information in these five chapters. One could not possibly cover that in one discussion. First of all, let us look at the subject matter from the perspective where we are. The Bhagavad Gita is beginning Senior Ubadur Maje, where in the first chapter, setting the scene, we find how Krishna and Arjuna are between the two armies. And basically, that is a material situation. Krishna, of course, even there, is in the spiritual world. Because Krishna, wherever he goes, the spiritual world also descends along with Krishna. But otherwise, the conditions on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are controlled by Ichchadvesa Samuttena Dvandamehena Bharata Sarvabhutani Samahan Sarvayanti Bharantapa. They are controlled by the influence of delusion. And all living beings are deluded by the influence of lust and envy. And the Mahabharata has many details about describing the complications that arise. So, there Krishna is instructing Arjuna and is basically instructing him to rise above the material conditioning. Asochanam asochastvam, no need to lament over this world. He explains that all living beings are under the influence of lust, mahapapa, mahasana, the most sinful, all-devouring enemy of the entire world. So, in this way, we see how many instructions are given by Krishna, which aim at uplifting the conditioned souls from material existence. And then Krishna describes the transcendental platform. Srimad Bhagavatam is, through nine cantos, preparing us to properly understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is described as Iti Jam Sakalapum Sakrishnas to Bhagavan Swayam. Among so many incarnations, Krishna is the origin of all these incarnations. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from him, all these other forms expand. So Krishna comes. His pastimes are being revealed to us directly in the 10th canto. And there Krishna begins to show his transcendental nature. His transcendental nature that goes beyond what any incarnation of the Lord displays in the material world. The incarnations of the Lord, as Bhagavad Gita describes, are coming for the purpose of paritranaya sadhanam vinasya sanskritam. To establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the demons and irreligion. But Krishna goes beyond. Krishna is not only coming to establish the principles of Dharma in this world or to show the path for upliftment, but Krishna is also revealing his own, a glimpse of his own eternal transcendental world. So in these five chapters, we are basically entering into that setting, the setting of Krishna's world, Krishna's pastimes. And in a sense, we are approaching that without being there. We are, just like the demigods are described, they are during the rasa dance witnessing whatever is taking place from their celestial planes. We are even at a greater distance, but with the help of the acharyas and the scriptures, we can get a clear focus as to the nature of these transcendental activities of the Lord and His eternal associates. That's more or less how we're approaching the situation as sadhakas, as devotees, or as aspiring devotees in practice. Then there are the eternal associates of the Lord, the parisat devotees, who are engaged in antaranga seva. They are serving the Lord completely within their eternal identity, perceiving the eternal pastimes of the Lord and playing their part within that, although they are here in the material world. Such devotees are very, very rare. So we are, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained that here in Mayapur, he said that in the house of Srivas, the kirtan has never ended. It is still going on. Even today, that kirtan can be heard. He said, some hear it directly, and others hear it through the scriptures. And there is no difference. So in the same way, we are also approaching Raslila through the scriptures, since we cannot perceive directly. So I'll begin a little bit with the first of the five chapters. Text 29, or 10:29:1. Just read the English. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, yet upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Text number 2. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the eastern horizon with the reddish hue of its comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with kumkum. Amen. Text number 4. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. So Krishna invested his flute song, or the playing of his flute, with his romantic feelings. And in this way, the gopis became greatly attracted to that sound of the flute in such a way that it was irresistible. Jiva Goswami gives a definition of the word Bhagavan. He breaks it up in three syllables, va, ga, and va, and says it means bhajaniya guna vasista, which is freely translated that Krishna is irresistible. You have to worship him. You have to serve him. So Krishna's flute playing was irresistible. and it touched the gopis in such a way that it completely took over. It completely took over anything that was in their consciousness. It became the predominant focus of their whole being. And therefore, they dropped everything they were doing. It is said some were milking cows, some were boiling milk, some were minding their children, some were cooking and had pots on the stove. Whatever they were doing, they dropped it. It was no longer rational. They were not thinking, oh, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is calling. Now we must give preference to him. It was purely on the spontaneous platform of overwhelming attraction to Krishna. And when the gopis came to the forest and met Krishna in the darkness of night, they were astounded to note that Krishna was greeting them very politely, something formal. My dear young ladies, it is very nice that you came here this evening. I appreciate the full moon is out. It is a very unique time. The forest is lit up in such a beautiful way. But now you have seen that beautifully lit up forest, so now you can return home, because after all, it is not appropriate for young ladies to be roaming around in the forest at night. So your elders, your fathers, your husbands, they must be all very worried about your whereabouts. You're still not home. But if you quickly go back, you can pacify and everything will be fine. So suddenly Krishna was leaving the gopis for a moment in the thought or in the feeling that they were alone with their love, right? And that Krishna was not actually reciprocating their love, and that this whole blowing of the flute was just, and whatever they read into it was just their own imagination. But then, no, this cannot be. They did not go, they stayed, but when Krishna was persistent, they were in anxiety and scratched the ground with their toenails as a sign of their anxiety. But their determination never changed. They remained. And they replied. They said, which young boy would give up the company of young girls in the dead of night? We have certainly chastity to the husband is glorified as the highest, but ultimately that chastity belongs to you, because you are the ultimate. And therefore the gopis decided not to go. And of course, then Krishna took them to a place on the bank of the Yamuna and there embraced them and performed pastime. So it is said that at that point, during the rasa dance, Krishna expanded himself. He took so many forms. Or somewhere, I saw a note where Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, no, in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't take many forms. It was just one Krishna, one form, but he moved so fast in between all the gopis that it appeared as if he had many forms. Just see. Because to take many forms, that would be more in the Aishwarya mode, fitting in Vaikuntha, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Then, as the pastime continued, it is said that the gopis began to consider themselves the most fortunate women in the entire universe, and it appeared that they developed something like pride, by thinking themselves of the most wonderful women in the world. Krishna, it said, then withdrew himself and went away with Srimati Radharani. Again, going by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, he explains that Srimati Radharani had gone into a state of man, a state of anger. Her mood is that mood of being a left-wing or Vamya Sakhi, a left-wing gopi, a gopi who is acting in a contrary way to Krishna. And therefore, she found a cause to be displeased because he was treating all the gopis equal. So he didn't give her that special preference. So therefore, his dedication was not considered good enough. And thus, she immediately withdrew. And then Krishna, along with her, left the rasa dance and left the other gopis. But of course, after some time, she also said, oh, still in this mood of man, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I cannot walk any further. Please carry me. And then Krishna, for some time, he carried her, but when he put her down, when she asked for the second time, then Krishna said, oh, we need to go a little further. Where shall I take you? To some secluded place in a grove? And then she said, take me wherever you want. It's a bewildering point in the pastime, because Srimati Radharani is free from any imperfection. It's not possible that she would become influenced by pride or by any negative quality. She is 100% pure. So how exactly did it work? What was taking place there? I was thinking about it and thought, let me see what the Acharya says on this point. I thought this is a sort of a contention point in the entire narrative. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says here that it was up to the point that Radharani was treating Krishna with great pride and demanding. He was controlled by her. He remained submissive. But as soon as she said, take me wherever you want, and she had become submissive, he became immediately recalcitrant. Then he disappeared. When she gave up her left mood, then he thought to himself, why would I maintain this submissive mood? And then he disappeared. And in this way, the reciprocation between Radha and Krishna is going on. In this way, we see there was absolutely no imperfection or a trace of pride, of inappropriate pride, in Srimati Radharani. But rather, we should understand that she was simply enhancing Krishna's feelings. Then it carries on, and the gopis are in great separation of Krishna, and naturally, in that experience of separation, they immediately turn to remembrance of Krishna. The first thing is they ask all the creepers, where has Krishna gone, and so on, and then they act out some of the pastimes that Krishna has performed. One climbs on the shoulders of the others and performs a Kaliya pastimes. Another one holds up the chadar, and it is Govardhan is being lifted. And in this way, the gopis are acting out all these various pastimes, just remembering Krishna. But then, in the course of doing so, they're also sort of walking about in the Vrindavan forest, still looking for Krishna, and they find his footprints. And then they see two footprints, two sets of footprints. So, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his Ujjvala Nilamani that there are different groups amongst the gopis. He's explaining that there are the, he said, the Svapaksha, the Suripaksha, the Tatastapaksha, and the Vipaksha. The Svapaksha is the group of Srimati Radharani. It is headed up by Lalita. And then Suripaksha, a group of gopis that is friendly to the group of Srimati Radharani. The Tatastha group, or the marginal group, neutral group, sometimes supporting Srimati Radharani, sometimes acting on the other side. The Vipaksha, the contrary group, is headed up by Chandravati. So in this way we are seeing these different division of different groups. So when the gopis found these various footprints, they acted accordingly, according to the group they belonged in. The Vipaksha gopis, the opposing group to Srimati Radharani, they were saying, "What is this? This one lusty girl has stolen away our lover." Whereas the Svapaksha, the own group of Srimati Radharani, they were very happy. Oh, just see. So all these varieties are simply there to churn the ocean of rasa, because that ocean of rasa is very refined. And thus so many nuances are there for bringing out more attachment. Therefore, opposing groups, or groups that are sometimes on one side, sometimes on the other side, just to confuse the issue, who side are they on today? Are they really on our side? I mean, one can just imagine how many factors there are in the equation to increase the eagerness and to increase the attachment. That is basically what is going on. Then the next chapter is basically, after the song of separation, the next chapter is the reunion, where Krishna reveals himself again to the gopis, and then different gopis are receiving Krishna in a different way. Some gopis immediately are most happy to see Krishna. One gopi takes Krishna's lotus foot and places it on her breast, that is Chandravali. And there's one gopi that looks extremely angry, as if she can pierce Krishna with her glances. She's trying hard, and that is Srimati Radharani. How could she disappear all this time? Yeah. And now you think, I'm here just to take you back in great happiness. So like this we see these different moods being displayed, all for the purpose of churning the rasa, which is the only purpose in the spiritual sky, to deepen the love. This is one point that is described in Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, a point I like very much, where it is described that the love of Srimati Radharani is like a mirror which is reflecting Krishna's unlimited qualities. And it is said that Krishna's qualities, there's no end to them, and thus her love, she's always discovering a new quality, and her love is embracing that quality as she's discovering it. And in this way, her love is eternally increasing. So I think that is a very wonderful description of the reality of the spiritual world, where love for Krishna is eternally growing and growing, and obviously not only in Srimati Radharani, but in everyone. And even now, within this movement, it's already begun. Little by little, our attraction to Krishna is increasing, is being fed, is nourished, and is slowly growing by discovering Krishna. So we can see the very same dynamics are there in our spiritual life now. By discovering more and more about Krishna, we are more and more going in depth, and gradually our love for Krishna is awakening. It is that Ishvara Tatadine Subhali Sesudisha Prima Maiti Kripu Peksha Yakruti Samajama. It is said that even the Madhyam Adhikari, for Ishvara, for the Supreme Lord, he has prema. It may not be the same level of prema or love as the Uttama Adhikari, but it is of the same nature. It is not alien. Love of God is not an alien thing. Love of God is very natural. And although our current experience of love is very shallow, nonetheless, it is of the same nature and gradually growing and developing. So I think so much for what I will say on the Rasa dance today itself in a descriptive way. Maybe I'll say a few words in conclusion, and then we have about 15 minutes left for discussion. What I would say in conclusion is that when the at one point Rameshwar came out with the Sankirtan newsletter, and he wrote in that Sankirtan newsletter, he had some realization. He had heard that the gopis always have a desire to bring others to Krishna before themselves trying to be with Krishna, so that rather they bring others. So somehow or other he thought that's very interesting, and made this comparison to the Sankirtan devotees bringing many new people to Krishna, just as Radharani is bringing other gopis, or the gopis are always trying to bring someone else to Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada heard this, I don't know if he read it or heard it, but anyway, Srila Prabhupada acknowledged it. Oh yes, this is exactly how it is. You have actually understood, we don't know to what extent maybe Rameshwar fully understood it at that time, but somehow or other, he had it, he wrote it, and Prabhupada pointed out. So, coming back to that, when it comes to the Rasa dance, we take inspiration of the purity, we take inspiration of the selfless service to Krishna, we take inspiration of going through superiors, because after all, they can please Krishna better than we can. Therefore, everyone puts Radharani forward, because who can please Krishna better than Srimati Radharani? So in this way, let us bring many, many living beings to the lotus feet of Krishna, so that they may also emerge in this ever-increasing ocean of transcendental bliss. I think with that I'll end, if any questions or comments.
clear to me from studying Srila Prabhupada's books that the way we access these intimate Vedas, as Prabhupada would say sometimes in his purports, is to give our lives to the mission. And yet, as time goes on, it seems to be more and more an appeal or an attraction for people to try to go to Radhakula and to find out who they are, things like that.
First deserve and then desire.
Yeah, first deserve and then desire. First Guru Chaitanya and then Rasa Guru. Could you say something about how we actually do go from this indirect to the direct in a very personal way, in a very practical way?
Obviously, there are two elements that are relevant to us in relation to Rasadeva. One is going broad by bringing many others to the lotus feet of Krishna and ultimately to this wonderful world that the Lord is displaying. And the other is our own internal life and going deep and trying to understand Krishna's pastimes in Kurukshetra and Dwarka and in Vrindavan, in all the five rasas. We try to go deep. And these two go hand in hand. Going in the mission is not just dedicating ourselves to mission, is not just a matter of running around with neck-breaking speed, trying to reach as many conditioned souls as possible, but also we need to ourselves go deep in our dedication. And ultimately, depth in our dedication will come from the example of the eternal associates of Krishna, particularly in Vraja. So, like that, we are not boycotting these pastimes. We're also not boycotting Radhakund. Radhakund is undoubtedly the most sacred place in the universe where these pastimes took place. Unfortunately, by some arrangement of Krishna, there is a group of Vaishnavas who reside at Radhakund, who are diametrically opposed in Siddhanta to this Brahma Madhava Vaishnava Gaudiya Sampradaya. There is a conflict in Siddhanta. And their approach to Rasa-lila is basically that at a very early stage, one begins to meditate on these internal pastimes. And, yeah, now we are hearing a little bit as spectators from a distance. But a higher level is when one is realized of his own eternal identity, and then one can enter into these pastimes. So, in that approach, the desire is there to meditate and place oneself within these pastimes, and then within the pastimes, experience exchanges with Krishna. Now, one can do so on the mental platform, imagining it, just by thinking about it, thinking oneself, imagine I was there, imagine I was a gopi, imagine that Krishna would pull my veil, imagine what would come next. I think then we're really imagining a lot. And I think we're imagining, our imagination will bring us to into hot water, not too dry, cold, but too hot water. That's what I think. So rather, we should have the patience to wait till the siddha-deha, or the eternal identity, becomes revealed in, simply in the course of chanting Hare Krishna and devotional service. There is, in the scriptures, or in the writings of our acharyas, such as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a reference to Siddha Pranali. We find, and Siddha Pranali is basically a process of where one is initiated by a superior Vaishnava into his eternal identity. We find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Swarup Damodar Goswami was given charge of Raghunath Das Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was guiding Raghunath Das Goswami in this process of antaranga seva, or serving according to his eternal identity. In Jaiva Dharma, in Harinam Chintamani, also we find descriptions from Bhaktivinoda Thakur about Siddha Pranava, where a superior Vaishnava is revealing the eternal identity to another. So sometimes devotees want to go to Radha Kund and look for Siddha Pranali, look for a Vaishnava who can give them some mantras which reveal their eternal identity. However, in the teachings of the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, our Sampradaya, there are, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jaiva Dharma, there are two ways that one can attain the Siddha-deha. One is through automatic revelation, and the other one is through a process of Siddha-pranali under the guidance of a senior Vaishnava, a process of conscious cultivation. It is mentioned there that Swarup Damodar Goswami was instructing both Raghunath Das and Gopal Guru Goswami. He instructed Raghunath Das in the process of automatic revelation and Gopal Guru Goswami in the process of conscious cultivation. But we see something like that in our Sampradaya for devotees who are, it is that this is for devotees who are prema runukshu, who are approaching prema. In other words, who are on a very advanced platform, situated in Saibhav, and are prema runukshu, approaching prema. For them, it may be appropriate. So there may be a bona fide siddha pranali. And then there is a process where it is just automatically revealed in the process of chanting and serving the holy name through the spirit, through the disciplic succession. And we see that particularly Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada are emphasizing more the automatic process. Just serve, just chant Hare Krishna, and everything will be revealed. And that is really what we should stick with. And that's where our loyalty should be. It's about chastity. Yes, we should not jump over and go shopping in the spiritual marketplace of Vrindavan. We should just remain very chaste at the lotus feet of Prabhupada. Then we have the best. There is nothing better. Anyone who thinks that maybe somewhere else there is something better is missing the best. Shelter at the lotus feet of Shri Prabhupada.
Maharaj, may I comment?
Please.
You were referring to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I remember
Which aspect, which book?
I think it was Jiva Dharma. Okay, he says this. Anyone who says, come, I will teach you about your Siddha Deha.
Yeah.
Know that person to be a great rascal.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that is a good statement for the general. He said, anyone who comes forward and proposes to teach you about the Siddha Deha, know that person to be a great rascal, quoting Martin Luther. I don't remember that in those words, but I do remember that in the first chapter there is a sannyasi of Jivadharma, there is a sannyasi who is highly qualified, very learned in scripture, very devotional, very advanced. And then there is some sort of, then under guidance of a superior Vaishnava, Siddhadeya is revealed. So the circumstances are clearly outlined. That's not us. That's not a conditioned soul. That's a liberated soul. So for liberated souls, such things are within the realm of what is authorized. But for sadhakas, conditioned souls, they must be very careful.
I think his point was that if somebody advertises himself, I can teach you about your Siddha Deha, that's what we should avoid.
Yes.
That when it comes, it becomes revealed, we will automatically go to that person and ask him, please help me.
I mean, anyway, the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, it's not necessarily a requirement that one gets this Siddha Pranali. One, it may also be revealed within the heart automatically in the process of devotional service. And as I said, that is more what is emphasized by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Srila, yes?
Prabhupada said, in this regard,
that
devotees should not be involved in this rasa business. It's like taking this Siddha Pranali business. It's like taking a razor blade and giving it to a small baby, and you're telling him, be very, very careful with this.
Yeah.
And he has no understanding of what the thing can do to him.
Yeah.
So like that, we have to be extremely on guard.
Nice. Short, because it is 8 o'clock and we're supposed to go down.
We see tons of souls in grass bodies.
I hear conch shells. What to do? Shiva Bhakti Jaya Rasturi Namamasa.